You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is Thursday, October 26th, and we're talking Braves baseball today with our friend Mark Bowman, our Braves reporter for MLB.com. Mark, we thank you for the time as always, and we're going to get to the Braves news items here in a little bit, specifically talking about the search to replace John Coppolella in the GM chair. But I want to start out as, again, we're talking on this Thursday, which is the off day, the travel day for the World Series. And we're coming off a pretty crazy game two in L.A. last night. Houston winning in 11 innings, 7-6, a game that featured a World Series record 8 combined home runs between the two clubs, 4 on each side. The thing, though, that I'm kind of having a hard time reconciling is that there's a lot of talk today that this was one of the greatest games in World Series history, and I don't quite feel that way about it. I feel like it was a fun game, and it was not boring. It kept your attention with all the extra inning home runs and theatrics and things that went on. It was not a boring game by any means, and it generated a lot of discussion amongst the fan base, which is never a bad thing. But again, I put this game in the category of fun and entertaining, not necessarily a great game, when it seemed like, you know, all we really saw were home runs. And there's nothing wrong with home runs, but to put it in that category of an all-time great game, I need something a little bit more. How do you feel about game two?
No doubt. It was certainly as entertaining as a game you're going to watch. I think, you know, it's great to see the home runs, to come back, to, you know, back and forth. I think that, you know, even in terms of just great postseason game, I mean, look, this Astros fans are going to feel different because it was their first World Series win. It's right on a bigger stage. But if you go back to game four of the division series against the Braves in 2004, I think you've got the late inning home runs, and then you had basically another 7 to 8 innings of just tremendous pitching where you've got Roger Clemens coming in. It's just, I think that actually had more drama in terms of postseason. You know, I know we're talking about best World Series games ever, but in terms of, I think that while this one had plenty of excitement, it was fun. I don't know if it had the drama as some of the other great games have had. I would even put the memorable games there with the Rangers and the Cardinals. You know, I put a couple of those games ahead of last night. But hey, look, I don't think anybody was disappointed having watched that. At the same time, I think at the end of the day, when I think of great World Series games, and this one had great pitching. When you think about where Verlander was going, giving up the 2 home runs, that's about it. It had great pitching. It had a little bit of everything. I just don't know if I walked away saying, man, that was the best one I've ever seen. It was a great one. It was entertaining, and hopefully it's just just set the stage for even greater games here throughout the rest of the series.
Yeah, I totally agree. And again, we're not saying that it wasn't a fun game by any means. It certainly was fun. It kept you on the edge of your seat, but you know, when I look at what baseball has become these days, and especially during the course of the 2017 regular season, when there is such an emphasis now on hitting home runs, and we see, you know, an alarming increase in strikeouts by batters, we see more home runs hit than ever before. And, you know, I'm kind of an old school guy, and maybe you are too, but, you know, I don't want to see that brand of baseball in the playoffs on the biggest stage when it matters most. And last night kind of had the feel of a slow pitch softball game or a home run derby at times, not to minimize the value of the game and how much fun it was to watch, but that's just kind of the feel it took on for me. And, you know, the other games that you referenced involving the Braves in past years and the Rangers and Cardinals from 5-6 years ago, you know, In those games, you had, you know, real dramatic moments, and you had great base running, great defense, and all the other attributes that this game did not have. And I don't know if you're like me, but I'm kind of hoping that game two was an aberration for what we're going to see the rest of the series as it now goes to Minute Maid Park in Houston.
No doubt about it. Home runs are fun. At the same time, you show me some you know, guys scoring from first on a double, that kind of stuff, some of that kind of excitement, great defensive play. Hey, look, we saw a great defensive player, too, last night. I just don't know if I'm going to put it in my top three, top five, whatever, you know.
Give me
a little bit more pitching, defense, and base running. We'll put it all together, and, you know, you can add in a homer or two. That's fine. But, you know, I think that, you know, in totality, you know, you may be able to find, looking at it from a grander scale, looking for all aspects of the game, you could find better games.
Yeah, you know, if we could script this like pro wrestling, I think we'd write a different script, you know. There's certainly entertainment value there, but it just didn't have some of the elements that you look for in a traditionally great game. I think for all the crazy stats that we saw from last night's game and through the first two games of the World Series, the most mind-boggling one to me is this one. Through two games, the Dodgers have 11 hits, 6 home runs, and 5 singles. I mean, that's just, could you ever imagine a stat like that, especially on a stage like this where you've out-homered your single production through two games? You know,
Joey Gallo approved of this World Series.
Yeah, good point. That is a Joey Gallo stat line if ever one existed, because, he did that. He actually did that during the regular season, and the Dodgers are doing that through two games. I'm sure it won't continue, but it certainly is an anomaly through the first two games of the World Series, which is now tied at one win apiece. Game three is Friday night, of course, in Houston, and the Astros are riding high after their first ever World Series win. We'll see what the rest of the Fall Classic brings us. But, Mark, in terms of what's going on in Braves world, I think, again, you know, we've seen some transactions, some options picked up, others declined. But, you know, until the major issue gets resolved, it's going to be hard to really, you know, move forward or lay a blueprint for what the team should do during the course of the offseason. Of course, that big item is obviously replacing John Coppolella in the GM chair in Atlanta. What are you hearing about that process? What are you hearing about a timetable and maybe about, you know, front-running candidates to inherit that role?
Well, you know, this has all been dictated on the MLB investigation. Look, there's been plenty for them to investigate, not only on the international market, but also the domestic draft, you know, other issues. This is a deep investigation that needed time. MLB needed the time to go through everything. And until that is done, the Braves will not know who is going to be running their front office. At this point in time, you know, when John Coppolella was forced to resign, you know, at that point in time, they felt the need to show some stability publicly. So while Brian Snicker exited the season, probably 50-50 chance at best that he was coming back, you know, all of a sudden he's brought back because they want to show that they have stability. The club chose to keep John Hart throughout this investigation in the presence of baseball's operations role and doing so, because you didn't really have anyone else in the office. They had hired Adam Fisher and Perry Manassian just 2 weeks before. They basically were the most experienced in terms of years baseball guys in that front office for day-to-day operations, yet they've been with the club for 2 weeks. So all of a sudden, John Hart takes on some GM duties at 70 years old. That's certainly, you know, 69, 70 years old. That's certainly something he doesn't want to do every day. And at the same time, you know, as this investigation, you know, once we realize the results from this, there's certainly a chance that he's either, you know, linked directly or indirectly to some of the infractions. So we will have to wait to see how all that plays out. So, you have to say his future is in doubt. And, you know, if John Hart is not in the picture, then obviously Dayton Moore has long been the favorite or the top candidate in many people's eyes, you know, throughout Atlanta. He's still loved and throughout the Braves organization. He grew up within the Braves organization, left in 2006, and ever since then, anytime there's been any hint that there's going to be a GM or any kind of opening, you know, there's rumblings, hey, will Dayton come back? And this may be the opportunity. I'm not saying that's a slam dunk, because there are some things that, you know, the Braves would have to do on their end, and at the same time, Dayton would have to choose to leave Kansas City. being in the only way he's doing that is to be the president of baseball operations. So let's not say that this is that far down the road or anything. I'm just saying this. If you polled, you know, anyone, you know, many Braves fans, and especially those in the front office, I think that there's no doubt that Dayton is the favorite. Not only could he come in, there's a guy who took the Royals to two consecutive World Series, but he's the kind of leader that's going to allow them to regain some of that respect and trust that maybe has been lost throughout, you know, what has transpired here over the last month, you know, with all that has come out about what was going on under John Coppola's reign, you know, both internationally, dealings with other clubs, free agents, domestic draft. There's just, I think the Braves want to restore their image. Dayton is a guy who immediately draws respect, you know, not only internally to maybe boost morale within the organization, but at the same time, on an externally, he allows you to draw respect with the fans, agents, players, those who, you know, are kind of looking and going, you know, what's going on there right now. They see a guy like that leading the organization, things could be different. You know, if in the event that they aren't able to get Dayton, I think they would, you know, there are some other candidates out there. Maybe Dan O'Dowd, he had a link to John Hart in Cleveland. You've got Jim Hendry, who might be willing to come in and help out for a year or two. He certainly would be a no-nonsense guy who could prove beneficial. But for now, if Hart is out of the picture, I'd have to say that Dayton is the favorite.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree. And in talking with your colleague, Jeffrey Flanagan, earlier today, our Royals reporter asked him the same thing because the rumors are out there. And he said, look, you know, Dayton addressed the media, and he said, I'm committed to Kansas City and continuing to do what we've done here and to build off the success we've had, including the world title, you know, 2 years ago. But then he added, in this business, you simply never say never. And it's until somebody other than Dayton Moore is filling that chair in Atlanta, the rumors and the speculation is going to be out there. It's going to be very interesting to see if they can pry him from Kansas City to inherit that role in Atlanta. And, of course, when that does or if that does happen, we'll have something to talk about next week for sure, Mr. Bowman. No question there. Mark Bowman, we appreciate the time on this Thursday, as always. That'll wrap things up. In the meantime, it's Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras Atlanta Braves.